And that rock is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 12. It says, I sent the hornet before you, which drive them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and city which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyard and the olive yard, which ye planted not, Do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seemed evil unto you, if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods, now that's with a little g, gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites. You notice there's also the little G. And it back up of whether the gods with a little G, which your fathers with a little F, and whom are serve that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites with a little it was with a little G, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God, with a capital G, forbid that we should forsake the Lord. That's with a capital L. To serve other gods, which we would a little G. For the Lord our God, capital L and the capital G, He, it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserve us in all the ways wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord with a capital L, for he is our God with a capital G. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord with a capital S, with a capital L, for he is a holy, capital G, God. He is a jealous God, a capital G. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. I want to talk a little bit tonight on as far as me and my house. For me and my house, we can look at that. We can take just the own few words right now. For me and my house, you can look at it two or three different ways. But it says, but as for me and my house, talking about me and my house. But the next portion of it says, we will serve the Lord. What they're speaking about right there, I believe, is that Joshua's trying to tell us something. The Lord's trying to tell us something. God the Father's trying to tell us something. And we need to look at it in the way it's written. But as for me and my house, we will serve whom? The Lord. It doesn't say that, well, I myself will serve the Lord. It says we, as speaking about the whole family that is under that same roof, will serve the Lord. We need to take a stand today, like we never have taken before. But today, with all the trials, with all the difficulty that's going on today within the individual and families' lives, they need somebody. They don't need me. They don't need you. They need the Lord. They need the Lord to guide them and direct them and to bring them from out of the bondage that they've been enslaved in. We see that right down here in verse 17. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of sin. So if it says that if we're not serving the Lord, if me and my house, if we are not serving the Lord, we're in bondage. We are serving the devil. We are serving Satan. We're serving old Slewfoot. We're serving the one that don't love us. We're serving the one that hates us and despises us. You said, well, no, I'm not. I'm not serving the devil. I'm not in the bondage to the devil. If you're not serving the Lord, you're serving the devil. And that's what we need to realize today as Christians. As Christians, we can go about and living a bountiful life, a successful life. And we don't have to be in bondage any longer. Our homes don't have to be in bondage. Our families does not have to be in bondage any longer. We need to pray for our families. We need to lift them up before the Lord. And most of all, we need to live it before our family. We need to live it before our family. You know, you've heard people saying, well, hey, the family is the hardest one to reach. That's true. But why is it? I believe this. I may be totally wrong, but I believe that we go about it the wrong way. We go about it that where we want to be, we want them to look at us. They want to be impressed by us. Well, we quote scripture. And we may know something about this or that or something else in the Bible. Where we'll impress them. We don't need to impress them. We don't need to impress nobody. We don't even need to impress the Lord God Almighty. We need to serve Him. And not just me and my home. That's talking about my wife and my daughter. All three of us must serve the Lord. And if we serve the Lord, then people, our family members, will see Christ in our life. We'll see a change in our motive and everything. And not be just somebody that's just a, well, all good at two shoes and everything. He goes to church now and he thinks he's better than anybody else. I ain't no better than nobody. Only difference between me and some of my family, I'm a saved sinner, a pilgrim passing by, on a way to a home that I've never seen. But the ones that don't know the Lord, they are the sinners that does not know the Lord. And unless they come to the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and to save their soul, they will never have an opportunity. Never have an opportunity to see the Lord Jesus. And see the beautiful homes that there's going to be there on the main street there in the Holy Lands. And I believe it's going to be the holy lands of all the holy lands. I know we have in places around, even here in the States, and even in Israel, they talk about the holy lands. Yes. They will show people where that Jesus went and died, and he was hung on that cross that they could have life and have it more abundantly. But yet, even with all of what they have and of all of what they've seen, the eyes have not seen and the ears has never heard the things that we're going to hear and the things that we're going to see there in glory. Now, Israel there is a place where you can go over there and you can go up Golgotha Hill where the Lord Jesus Christ had to cross on his back. And that cross was heavy. And it was loading him down. But as he was climbing that hill, he fell. He fell down to the ground. But he didn't stay down. He picked the cross back up. Then one of his disciples come beside of him and was helping him. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine him being there right close to him as he was walking up that hill carrying that old burdensome of a cross, and he fell to the ground? Would we have stepped aside and reached over and grabbed him and helped him up? And knowing if we did, that we may also get beat? I would think I would. I don't know, and I don't know until I'm put in this situation. Nobody else does. Until we put in a situation like that. But that's the reason it says, for me and my house. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We'd rather go out here and do something else and serve something else then take a little time out and come into the house of the Lord. We have a whole lot of people the same way today. Yeah, they claim to be a Christian. They say that they're saved. Where are they at? If every individual claims to be saved, claims to be a Christian, if they would just realize in what they are saying when they do say that, and if they just say, well, Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for me, and I know I haven't being one all to you. If they would just get up and just, hey, and come to the house of God. Whether it's Faith Baptist Church, community, or Welcome, or wherever. Just come on in. You wouldn't see no empty pews. But you know, in seeing empty pews, that's telling me one thing. It's telling me one thing. That they're lying. They don't love God. I don't think nobody can be a Christian, a true born again believer, knowing God and who God is, and not come to church. I ain't haven't understood that. Because since the day that I got saved, I knew it was a change that took place in my life. I want the same creature. I want the same individual that I was that hour before I got saved. I was different. Why? Because something came. Something happened. The Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit introduced me to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus introduced me to God. And here I had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to come in and take an abode within my heart. He's close to me. And I've never wanted to be out of church. Oh yes, sometimes I've got fretted with people in times past. Yeah, I got fretted with them. And I said, I'm not going back no more. That would be on a Sunday morning. You know where I'd be at Sunday night, don't you? Right back in church. I can't get away from the thoughts of having the sweet fellowship with the people. Because you can learn so much from one another. We can learn so much if we will just, and if a people will just take the time. Instead of coming to the house of the Lord, so many of them will come to the house of the Lord, they'll start talking about racing, they'll start talking about wrestling, they'll start talking about football or baseball or something like that. But that's no, the house of God is no place for that. The house of God is a place for us to proclaim His name and to lift Him up. He will be in. We've been, today they even do it with Sunday night. They don't have Sunday night services anymore. Wednesday night, they don't have services anymore. I can't understand that. I need to be I need to be energized. I need to be like that, and I know everybody's seen it on TV. That rabbit, that little furry rabbit that they got on TV, and they said, "Well, it's got to take a." When he's energized batteries and they put in and they go, and go on and keep going on. Coming to the house of the Lord, that's what we'll do for you and for me and for them. And I mean, And maybe some of you are probably thinking, well, the preacher says, what are you preaching that for? Says, I mean, he doesn't, it's just us. We don't need that kind of message. I think it's good to bring back some things that we've learned over the years. Because the things that you've learned, you can also forget. Also forget them. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I like to put something else on it. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord at all cost. A lot of people, they don't want to do it that way. They say, well, no, I can't say that. I can't say that because if you say that, Lord will bring some things down on you. Yeah, he may. He may touch your body to where it's not as strong as it used to be. He may do something and he may allow the devil to attack you. Attack you and attack your finances or whatever. But we can always remember one thing. God is still there. God still loves us. He hasn't forsaken us. And he won't forsake us. Because if he did, then I need to take and put this Bible on a shelf somewhere and not pick it up no more. But he says that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, we'll have communion now. I know I went a little low, but that's all right. And my wife said, well, she said, at least it didn't go over to